Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Yeah, hey. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Just waiting for my producer, Vulture, to chime in and give me a Charlie Lima. All right, Lima Chit. I think I got this finally figured out, the Vulture. I got a guest today, Lauren Petrullo. Is it Petrullo? Petrullo? What do you prefer?
Any way that it comes out of someone's mouth.
All right, Petrullo. That's what I'm going to go with. Are you in a different place today?
Same room. I just changed desks. Before I was facing the door.
I like the little chandelier behind you and stuff. It's pretty badass. So we're going to catch up. Oh, by the way. All right. So let me start off the show here. If you guys want to call in, you can easily do that. 407-270-3044. Once again, 407-270-3. Lauren just checked out on me. Lauren, what happened? Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe she can reconnect there.
I tried hitting comments. Sorry, my bad.
Is your microphone even working? Like it sounds like it's an echo.
Maybe because of sound here.
That's much better now. You got to get in. You got to get intimate with the microphone. So, got Lauren on the show today. I got a guest coming up at 7:30, and Lauren's going to be a part of it. I'm going to be speaking to a sex therapist.
Woo-hoo!
I haven't been having a lot of that, so that's why I had Lauren come on, because I maybe even forgot, you know. But Heather Shannon's going to join us at 7:30. But all right, so Lauren, I got a bone to pick with you a little bit. I just noticed, and I completely have forgotten about it. You just accepted my Facebook friendship request.
And I knew you were going to call me out on that too. I never see those. There's like 400 or something friend requests.
Well, yeah, so because you're a hot chick. That's why. I mean, come on. No, I don't get a lot of like friend requests. Oh, bikini shot.
Are you going through my Facebook right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I am. God. So I was looking at the mutual friends and stuff. How do you know Will Kelly? You don't even know who that is, do you? You probably don't.
I don't add anyone I don't know.
Maybe I don't remember.
He was
a salesperson at Real Radio at iHeart Clear Channel.
All right, pulling up on our mutual friend.
Let's see
how this goes. Oh gosh.
See, now I'm gonna have to tell Will Kelly.
We have five mutual friends.
Yeah, we have five.
Wow, no, we have four. One was a really, really good friend and he passed away.
Oh, he did. Which one was that?
Rogue.
Oh, yeah. Man, that sucks.
Yeah, I played soccer with him all the time.
But Will was great. He always hooked me up with the greatest promotions, like going out to McDonald's. Like, he had a lot of the national advertisements. Like, he had McDonald's for iHeart.
I did work with him when I was at Pearson.
Okay, so... He used to, like, because back then, radio, when you were doing radio, if you got a one of those national live appearances at a McDonald's or something, and it was only 2 hours, you would get $300, and that was great for a two-hour event. And Will always hooked me up with those, and I can't thank him enough for that, because $300 for a two-hour event, that's good-ass money.
That's stripper money.
Yeah, it definitely is. So, I texted you earlier because the reason I wanted to have you on was I was watching Spectrum News 13 here locally, and I saw that they were doing a story on dragon boat racing.
The greatest sport ever.
But what level of reading comprehension are you on? Because I felt bad, but then I really, really didn't feel bad because I was like,
Come on. It said someone is passing on.
No, here, hold on. I will read exactly word
someone
for word.
Please help me in the comments. Stand up for me.
I said, just saw this news story on Spectrum News 13. Might talk about it. Wanted to see if you wanted to come on the show to chat about it. And the title is Good Now. I guess his name's Charlie, right?
Yeah.
Good Now, passing on passion for dragon boat racing. And by the way, I also mentioned your phone is always on silence notifications. It is.
Jeez, this is like come at me with every way. I don't respond to people. I don't answer text messages. I don't accept friend requests.
Oh, well, anyways.
Well, Tom has some heated words.
Yeah, well, Tom Delaney said F dragon boat racing. But you replied immediately, wait. Charlie is dead? ?
I read Charlie is passing. Like I thought passing on. It was like he's moved on from this world, and it was a tribute to what he's done for the dragon boating community in Central Florida.
He was passing on his knowledge of the sport, and you got and I had to call you immediately because I didn't want you like calling your friends and stuff saying, did Charlie pass away? Did he die? What happened? Did he fall off a boat? Did he get hit by an oar or something? Did he drown? Like, I had to call you immediately.
And I appreciate it because I was in the middle of a meeting and I was like, I just saw him Saturday. What happened?
All right. Anyways. So I got the story here and I want to like play this a little bit. Give me a second. So Charlie. Now, you said he's only 5'4", right?
Like 5'4", maybe 5'6". He's not a tall individual.
Yeah, well, he's out there. And I got to tell you, the water, do you guys only row in, on glassy water? Because it seems
paddle.
Like...
paddle? Rowing is when you're facing... You can't see the direction in which you're moving. Paddling is you're facing the same direction as you're moving.
Man.
But no, that's Lake Fairview. It's where we always practice. But our race in November is at Lake Hernando, and that is choppy AF. There's going to be at least two boats.
You can say as fuck if you want to. You don't have to say AF, you know.
Fair.
Okay.
Well, it's going to get more derogatory as the show progresses.
Okay. All right. I got you.
Few things beat the stillness and peace of the water in the mornings.
Hit! 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 Come on! Hit!
I feel like, why would you want to do this? Like, seriously, why would you want to do this and have some guy yelling at you and stuff? Now, do they call them the coxswain when they're at the front of the boat? No?
No, he's the coach. So you have 20 people in a boat. There's someone behind that's the steers person. So that person's standing up and controlling direction of the boat. And then what you don't see here is at the front, which would be the coxswain equivalent of crew, is someone who's not facing the direction that the paddle is going, and they've got a drum. And they're making noise, or he's shouting hit, so everyone knows to enter the paddle at the same time, so you don't have this, like, caterpillar effect.
All right, so what's the difference between a dragon boat and a regular boat? What makes this a dragon boat? Like, or is it, are you guys just naming it a dragon boat? Because I don't see a dragon anywhere on
Fair.
It.
So I told you earlier, these boats are like 20 to 30 grand each. These boats, the way they're designed, can sit 10 or 20 paddlers and traditionally do have a dragon. And all races have a dragon at the front of the boat. And there's a lot of history and culture behind dragon racing. And some races, like the drummer has to turn around and grab an orb, all those type of things. But in a race, there's a dragon head. It's just not used during practice because it's still an expensive statue that you don't want to get damaged.
Where does this sport originate from?
Asia.
Well,
it's huge, okay, huge in Southeast Asia, Hong Kong.
So Hong Kong,
I would guess China, but
we are completely fighting China, right? Well, not a war or anything, but I mean, are you a communist sympathizer and stuff for China and everything with this Dragon Boat stuff? No?
I will say that Taiwan has endorsed a few of our races.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good. So, all right, I want to learn more about this sport.
Ride. It's fantastic. The lake is like glass. The sun's up.
He looks like a guy who smokes weed, right? Like, I'm just asking. Like, Charlie, he's ripped. He's got the tribal tattoos and stuff. You know, Asian Pacific.
He's a very active individual. He plays rugby.
Yeah.
So he's very in tuned with his body.
Okay, I got you. Like, has Charlie ever tried to hit on you or anything? Has Charlie been no?
I just say that more often than not, if someone's hitting on me, I'm oblivious because I would not actually understand unless they're extremely vulgar and direct.
Yeah. Is there somebody talking to you? I heard another voice.
There's Siri. There's a speaker in the background.
All right. I'm just making sure.
You can hear the nature. I mean, it's beautiful.
Then come the Dragon Boat, the sport that Charlie Goodenough stumbled upon by accident.
I went to college on a football scholarship and wrestled. Was former Mr. USA, I boxed, you name it.
Former USA.
Legit. This is a pageant boy. I've seen his picture. He's shown me his poses.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Fozzie, if you will, says chiseled jaw. I mean, he says it right there.
He's chiseled everywhere. Like, that man's bursting at the seams, and he wears tighter clothes.
So let me ask you, does your husband, I almost said boyfriend, your husband ever get jealous? What'd you and Charlie do today?
No.
Because let me ask you this. All right. And I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm not trying. But I've seen your husband. Good looking dude. Okay. But doesn't seem
Everything before the word but cancels out. So you're saying my husband's not good looking?
No, he is a pretty boy. Frank in Tampa says Charlie is swole. I gotta agree with you.
He's in his 60s too, mid 60s.
Frank in Tampa says Charlie definitely hit.
I've heard rumors of his popularity.
Okay, all right. So, I just don't see your husband as one of those alpha males though, right? I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm not saying he couldn't hold his own and everything, but I just don't see him as that alpha male type guy like Charlie is. Charlie looks like an alpha male.
Yes, I would say my husband is the opposite in terms of seeking out attention.
Okay.
Being at 6'4", he's always picked in crowds and he's like, gosh darn it, shrink.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. And if I'm asking any questions that are offending you and stuff,
everything's fair game. I'm not offended.
All right.
I expect them to get way worse.
The ultimate team sport.
Oh yeah, they are.
With 22 paddlers in sync, but like Charlie's day job, working in neurosurgery, it's all about.
All right, come on, Lauren. Don't tell me that. This guy has played college football. Wrestled, he's Mr. Universe type stuff, and now he's also a neurosurgeon. I'm sorry, but if I was getting some brain surgery done from Charlie, I'd just be like, yeah, can I get the nerd to do the brain operation that I'm about to have?
Well, if you're gonna go under, you want to have someone good looking to look at, ideally.
No, but I don't swing that way, Lauren. I mean, I don't have anything about it, but if Charlie walks in, he's got these tattoos, I'm like, oh yeah, Charlie probably just smoked a bowl before he came up the elevator to cut open my melon and stuff. I'm just like, I'm good. This can wait.
I don't know if he's a doctor. I thought he was a nurse. But regardless, if he is, he's helping you go to sleep. And he's like, I've got the right solution for you.
I love anybody that can give me a pill or something that's going to help me sleep or put me down. Like, hell yeah, Charlie, hook me up. I mean, that's what I'm down for. So we're like, when you're doing the dragon boat, where are you usually at?
I paddle on the right. So on this screen on the left-hand side, and then I tend to be middle or engine. So in the middle are the super tall humans, and we have some guys that are over 6 foot. Yeah, I'm the tallest girl on the boat, so I'll sit right behind the tall guys. So the tallest, like back a half, or I'll be in the engine because I like learning how to steer, so I can halfway through the boat switch up and stand. Mm. But it's terrifying. Oh my gosh, I'm not even kidding. Like first time I was steering, I stood up and I thought I was going to like fall over. Like I'm on a surfboard thing now with the standing desk, but it was so bad on the boat.
Fozzie, if you will, says, where is the strongest rower positioned?
You actually have more strength with synchronicity. The front of the boat, you'll have your lead paddler. So they set the pace. You usually have your tallest people in the middle because it helps like pick up the endurance, and so they tend to be the strongest. But people like Charlie, he's too big, so he's on like the USA team and stuff.
You said he was 5'4".
Muscles wise, like these big guys come on and they're not lean enough.
All right. So I mean that's good to know. All right. Let me
back of the boat is usually the weaker paddlers.
I'm that ADHD kid that's sitting in the class going like this, you know. I'm the
guy. Oh yeah, he's definitely on Adderall.
That you have to hold that rein, and then you know I'm the dog that you hold until they say let go.
Fozzie asked, have you ever seen gators out on the water when you guys are rowing?
Paddling. I haven't seen gators. We see otters a lot and a bunch of other like fauna on the lake. But more often we'll see individuals with speedboats, and that's annoying because they create such massive waves that like you bounce while you're paddling.
So he says, have you ever seen gators out on the water and stuff? Now, Charlie, why does his left arm, is he left-handed?
I don't know.
His left arm looks way bigger than his right. Look at that.
Maybe he's
though.
A lonely, lonely man.
Come on. Charlie is getting all types of ass. He is. You know he is.
So, yeah. I love it. And then to do good. And then to win. Oh, my God.
But see, look how big his muscles are. Typically, someone with that body doesn't perform well because they have too short of a paddle length. So it's not about strength as it is about being in sync and the angle your paddle enters the water.
Let me ask you this, you know, how long do these races usually last? And when you're overexerting yourself like that for a short amount of time, maybe some people might pee themselves or even maybe...
This isn't Formula One. These races aren't like 2 hours long.
Well, I'm just saying...
They have like a mile race, which can be an hour or two. I've seen the longest. But like October 15th, you'll have 3 races per team. You'll race 3 times, 500 meters. A good 500 meters can be done in 2.5 minutes with a 20-man boat.
Fozzie has a question for you. If she could row anywhere. Now, you're saying paddling. All right. Let me read the question. I want to know the difference between paddling and rowing. If she could row anywhere in the world, where and why?
Duanwu Festival in Taiwan.
Okay.
Because dragon boating in Southeast Asia is bigger. Like Duanwu in June or July is like the biggest day. It's a Super Bowl equivalent of dragon boating.
Mm-hmm.
But it dwarfs the Super Bowl in the U.S. So it's just massive.
Oh, come on. Don't.
Come on, only Americans watch Lauren, football.
Are you kidding? No. I'm sorry. There's nobody doing... I'm telling you, the Super Bowl of...
In the U.S. doesn't get anywhere near as much many viewers mm-hmm. as dragon boating can get. No. You have to remember, there's larger populations on that side of the world than this single country.
I'm sorry. There's not a dragon boat race televised that's going to get more viewers than a regular season NFL game. It's just not happening.
Not American. Yeah, in the U.S., 70% of all dragon boaters are female, and it's largely consistent of breast cancer survivors because you work, like, these muscles, and it helps reduce, like, recidivism of cancer, so...
I mean, I was about to go out and see dragon boat racing to pick up chicks, but then you're saying,
it's all women, but they're also.
Yeah, but I don't want to go out and and no offense, but I don't want to meet a chick that has, one boob or both of them cut off. I mean, there's no hate. I'm sure. You know what, though? Let me retract that. I'm not a boob man.
Yeah, but a lot of these women have their boobs redone, and they've got tattooed nipples that look superb. They definitely, some of these women have better looking titties than I do, for sure.
Whoa. So what do you mean tattooed? Like their areolas are tattooed in? Like what are you talking about?
Yeah, when you get breast implants or if you have your breasts removed, they often enter in through the nipples. So you have to have nipples redrawn on.
Yeah, but I over in Tampa when I was on the Bubba Love Sponge show, Dr. Diaco, he went through the armpit. The end and under, because I don't know.
Maybe because it's totally removed and they place it in.
Yeah.
I will also say this about dragon boaters, because you do all this, so I sit on the right, you paddle. This is pure muscle. And so some women, a friend of mine, she only paddles on one side. Her one boob is significantly higher.
Wait a minute. So
these are often perky, perky women.
So her boob is a little bit more leaner on one side is what you're saying.
Not leaner, higher. The muscles lift it.
Okay. All right. Let's finish the story because I want to make sure I got time to get to our guest.
He's found himself on the podium quite a bit. He's been paddling now for more than a dozen years, which has taken him around the world with Team USA.
To Italy, been to Thailand.
Oh, Italy. You like Italy probably, right? I mean, that's right up your alley.
Yeah, but we go every year.
All right.
And I've been in contact with the team there, so I've paddled with them.
Been to Hungary.
Well, you would think that people in Italy would be able to row, especially with Venice and stuff. I mean... would you get some gondola type people? Would that transfer into dragon boat racing?
Only for the man steering the ship, the boat.
All right. Frank in Tampa, what do you think about this, Lauren? This is why girls should never talk about sports.
I mean, sure, you can have that opinion.
Been to Trinidad Tobago for the Pan Am Games. You get to meet all different cultures and all different people.
I got a lot of Trinidad and Tobago fans, and I know a lot of people are going to say that I'm being racist but I asked them and they said Trinnies. When they told me, it's like what do you call the people there, and they said Trinnies, and I was just like, it's really closely related to trannies. You get what I'm saying?
There's a difference. And I feel like Nicki Minaj has talked about it extensively. Like, she's used that term in several of her songs.
Okay. All right. I'm making sure.
One common bond, which is paddling.
All that internet.
Now, he said, so there is a difference between paddling and rowing.
Right. Paddling is you're moving the same direction. Mm-hmm. You're going the same. You're facing the direction your boat is moving. Rowing is you're not facing the direction. So when you row a boat, you're going backwards.
All right.
You're paddling,
you're going the same direction. I got you.
National experience has brought him back home to Orlando. In a sport that's all about community, he's added another role to his resume as a coach.
It teaches you good people skills because you have to communicate on different levels to different people. So you can tell I've mastered that.
A day out in the water with Charlie, and he'll be smiling as much as you are training.
Hey, just kidding. We're going that way.
I want to see. Now, look at this. He did that on purpose. Look at Charlie.
No.
No, he did. He posed. Charlie pose. Man. Look at that. Though, come on now. He did this pose.
Whatever,
Lauren. Like, but look at that. He purposely did that. Charlie did. And
it's the female equivalent of like, oh, let me grab this from the bottom shelf.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying though, but damn, he is pretty ripped.
They kind of have a little smile. They have that, you can tell on their face, they have that feeling of accomplishment.
Sure, the podiums and the medals are meaningful, but Charlie feeds off.
Damn, his right arm is bigger than his left.
Expected to love
or his right. His left is bigger than his right.
You know, it's funny, I get more of a reward as a coach. Is I want to inspire people to have the love of it like I do.
Nice. Nice. This boat looks terrific.
In Orlando, Danielle Stein, Spectrum Sports 360.
All right, so that was the thing. So, I mean, I don't know. Frank in Tampa says I have a boner. Fozzie says Charlie is a thirsty as F cousin. So, Lauren, I wanted to talk to you about this. Well, before I get into the next thing, where are some of the places? Because you're always jet-setting all across the country and stuff. Where's the last place? Are you there? I can't hear you.
Did I mute myself?
Yeah, you did.
Whoops. Last place I traveled was Austin or Costa Rica.
All right. I got to tell you, you got so many better pictures on your Facebook page. I'm glad you finally accepted that. Hopefully I'm not creeping you out and stuff, but...
Oh, are there? I wouldn't agree with that per se, but sure.
Well, I mean, you don't have any bikini pics and stuff on your other, you know.
That's not true. My Instagram is like more bikini pics than anything else.
Nah, but I mean, yeah, I don't know about that. Anyways, look. So you went to Costa Rica.
It's all sports pictures. Like, wait, hold on. When you go through my Facebook, it's either like work pictures for marketing,
but,
or like soccer pictures or dragon boating or any of those things.
But let's be honest, Lauren, you don't post much on your Instagram posts. It's all stories. It's all like stories.
Yeah, that stuff disappears.
Trust me. People can screenshot those. Easily can do that. You know that they do that. I mean, same thing as like with Snapchat.
Yeah, but it's just easier. Like if you get to see it, if you're active in the moment, ta-da, welcome to my life.
But you're in marketing though. I mean, do people like that stuff that has a shelf life, or like if you gotta catch it while it's hot and it's there?
Oh, the Be Real social media app is like exploding.
All right.
Everyone wants to know in the moment. Otherwise, like feeds and stuff that's like permanent is scripted. Sincere.
Did you get to check out Zuckerberg on Joe Rogan? I know you're big into the metaverse and all that stuff. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I didn't. I did not listen to him. No.
It was an interesting interview. It really, really was. You know, they were talking about how the FBI asked them to kind of stop the Hunter Biden story and everything with the laptop and everything.
The FBI is super involved in marketing. I will neither confirm nor deny if there's an opportunity for me to help disseminate specific information on behalf.
FBI has contacted you before?
Neither confirming nor denying. I'm just saying that they are more in tune than other agencies within the government of social media.
Okay, so they're better than like the CIA or the DEA and all that stuff?
I don't know those branches very well.
Okay, I see what you're doing there. So, I mean, Zuckerberg, though, I mean, it kind of feels like a lot of these big social media websites and stuff are losing a little bit of traction.
Yeah, well, when they have like 60% of the world already active on it, it's less traction. I mean, he's expanding, taking the user base that exists and giving them more accessibility to socialize.
So what is
like,
what
expansion to the metaverse?
What is the most influential social media app right now? Is it TikTok?
TikTok has the largest numbers of users, and it surpassed Google in months compared to. So I think it's growing its influence. But because of all the history of data that Meta and all of its properties, Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram all have, it's definitely a more powerful tool. But TikTok has a larger engaged user base.
All right. I got you there. What are some of the things you can advise people on when it comes to social media stuff? Because you do a lot of marketing and stuff. For people to protect their information and everything.
Well, easy peasy, make a complicated password. We do marketing ER services. So we get people back into their Instagram like once a week. People's ad accounts get hacked all the time because they don't set up two-factor authentication.
Yeah, see, but I was going to ask you about two-factor.
Don't even ask. Already set it up. I have to log in like three different ways before Facebook lets me into anything. But I'm managing millions of dollars of ad spend a year. So.
All right. I got a guest that's supposed to be on real soon. It's supposed to be on at 7:30. Has not come on. You know, how apropos would it be that the sex therapist stands me up? I'm just being dead honest.
Are you standing up waiting for her?
Well, I'm just trying to, you know, I don't know.
I mean, Charlie got it going, so I don't know. You could have a standing ovation waiting for her, but it would be quite appropriate in the event that.
So, Lauren, have you ever done the, you know what, I'm just not going to waste any more time. There was another story that I wanted to talk about. Have you ever gone through the vegan phase in your life? Like, have you ever, or you just like the meat too much? And I'm sorry, I'm not, like, doing that in a bad way, but, I mean, do you just like meat too much?
We are basically like pescatarians. We eat lots and lots of fish.
So fish. That's
my
good.
Husband's allergic to chicken and turkey. And
what the fuck? Really How like... are you allergic to turkey?
He can eat eggs.
Right, hold on. Let me stop this real quick. So he's allergic to turkey. So he doesn't even get to enjoy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. An Italian born and bred man can't enjoy an American holiday that celebrates.
My guess is coming on. I got hey, Heather, how are you, Heather?
I'm great, Tuttle. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I got my co-host today, Lauren Petrillo. She is a marketing guru. Matter of fact, she would actually be a good contact for you as well too. Both wearing, I mean, we're all part of the nerdy glass crew, glasses crew, and everything. Mm-hmm. But on the line with me right now is my guest, Heather Shannon. I like to let my guests have the floor, tell my audience a little bit about yourself before we get into the interview, because I could promote everything that you're talking about, but, I mean, you know it better than anybody. So
I would hope so.
Yeah. So, Heather Shannon, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and hello to the awesome listeners out there. So I'm a certified sex therapist. A lot of people ask me, you know, how did that come about? And so I have been in private practice since 2011 as a mental health professional. And I had a couple clients early on who were just really brave, I would say, in exploring relationships and sexual identity and orientation and fetishes and sexual trauma. And, you know, even how it overlaps with addictive behaviors. And it was one of those moments where, it just really occurred to me, like, this is important, you know, identity work that people are doing that they don't really have a lot of safe space for. Like, where else are they going to explore these things, you know? And it was also something that I felt like, you know, I'm naturally really open-minded and non-judgmental, and I felt like I was really able to provide that safe space. And so it kind of clicked for me. And so from there, I decided to, you know, invest in the training and the certification, and here I am.
All right. So, Heather, I would like to ask you this as a sexual therapist, sex therapist. I know Lauren's about to be pissed at me on the question I'm about to ask. So
we'll see if I get pissed too. We'll
No, you're not going to get it. You won't be. But what would you say about a woman that was married, got divorced? She's already laughing and she knows where I'm going with this.
Okay.
She's shooting me the bird. That if she got divorced, still is really good friends with her ex, athlete, soccer player, and she got remarried and is still wearing the ring of the guy she was previously married to.
I would say that's unique, but probably a little out of my jurisdiction in terms of sex therapy. I'm not sure what the arrangement is.
Well, so if you really didn't know much, would you think that there is a little bit of a love triangle there? Or I'm just asking.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting question. Well, part of my job is not assuming, but I would definitely ask about it. That's for sure.
I'm sorry, Lauren. I mean, you can jump in at any time, Lauren. Like,
I'm in a very healthy relationship with my current husband. My ex-husband is my best friend or one of my best friends. My husband and I have very clear communication. There's no threatening or jealousy involved whatsoever. I am good friends with his girlfriend.
Cool. Okay, well, I mean,
that's
all right.
Kind of great.
Okay.
He's absolutely the best. And I can't tell you, most of my friends are assuming that, like, we participate in threesomes all the time. This is so he came to visit me and my husband in Milan because he was training with Barcelona's team. Oh, and wow. So he flew over. I was like, yeah, we went to see some games together. And I, like, posted a picture on a story. And then it was this onslaught of, like, I knew you were in a throuple.
No, but okay. Now, all right. So, Heather, though, and I just teased.
I'm curious about the ring, though.
Yeah.
Oh, it means a lot. Like, it means a lot to his family, and it means a lot to me. And my husband and I never exchanged like wedding rings. So it actually starts. So when I got married to my husband Roberto, my mom stole this ring from me. Wore it as a necklace for a while. She was like, "You can't wear that person's ring."
Let me take that off your hands.
But like it was like his grandmother's ring and it means a lot to his family. Okay. And I happened to like go out to lunch with his mother and she noticed it. And I was like, no, I want to wear it. It respects our relationship. Also, like I only have an engagement ring from my husband. Okay. And it was easier to not get like when people did overtly hit on me, they're like, oh, it's just an engagement ring. That shit's not locked down.
People actually said that out loud to you?
Oh, come on. There are way worse things that people have said.
Wow. But that's ballsy, I think.
So Heather, what is the major issue? I'm not talking about Lauren right now, but in most relationships right now, if people are dating or engaged, yeah, or married, that's causing a lot of issues. What is the main thing that in your profession that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, I really can't say one thing, but for couples, I would say low libido, or like one person having a low libido and lack of sex. Oh, Lauren's excited about that one.
Oh, I know. I texted her. I was like, it's money or mismatched libido.
No. Here she did text me. I swear to God, she did text me.
She's a smart lady. She's correct.
All right. But okay. So for the most part, is it the men that have a higher sex drive and the women can't match that? It can go either way.
The man has a higher sex drive.
Thank you, Lauren.
What? So,
I do think there's a lot of gender
stereotypes. We come more times in a day than a man can come. Come on.
All right. So, no. I'm just going from personal experience.
You guys are hilarious.
I'm especially thinking. I would imagine you have a low libido.
You're
like, oh, got it in for the month. I'm good.
Okay.
I tend to not find it to be very gender related. I would say it's half and half who has the higher libido. One exception I would say is I'm one of the sex and relationship experts on the Peanut app, and there's a lot of new moms on there. And I would say, like, that specific time of life, mm-hmm. there's some other factors going on, especially if you're sure. breastfeeding. There's actually some hormones that will mm-hmm. lower your sex drive.
Like a child destroying your nipples.
Well, my dad did say when my mom was breastfeeding me, he actually partook in some of my mom's breast milk.
I can't wait for that. I'm like, literally, that's like one of the things I look forward to the most.
If wait, would you breastfeed Lauren, would you breastfeed your husband?
Like, I would make him try it. I wouldn't even make him. I'd make my like best friends try it. Not
straight from the tap.
That would cross the line.
Yeah, not from the tap. You know, like they're not going to take it from the tap, right?
I'd be my best friend Lisa, and I'd be like, all right, in front of her husband, I'd be like, try this.
Wait. You would let your best friend, who is a woman, you know, drink from the tap?
I wouldn't be let. I'd like force her.
Wait, so you would let her drink from the tap then, if you know what I'm talking. Yeah?
Yeah.
No
shit. You only live once.
That, I mean, that might be the most amazing thing you've ever said, Lauren.
It's worth having me on just to get Lauren to say that.
Well, yeah, thank you, Heather. But let me ask you though. We're talking about libidos and stuff.
Yeah.
How much is mood stabilizing drugs playing a part in men's sexual libido?
Yeah, for anyone, I would say birth control and antidepressants are the two libido killers.
Because I was on heavy medication at one point, mm-hmm. and I thought that I was just being a professional. I was concentrating on my career and stuff. This is after my divorce and everything, and I just thought I was being, you know, a career man. I was being a professional.
Yeah, focus was elsewhere. Yeah.
And I wasn't dating and stuff. And then I realized I was like, hell, I can't remember the last time I masturbated. Like I swear to God, I think I went over a year without even self-gratifying myself.
Whoa.
Yes.
I don't believe that.
No. No, you think I'm bullshitting?
But then, like, what happened? Did it have, like, a Yosemite eruption when you finally went through it all?
No, it's just, like,
Did you have sex during that time or no release whatsoever?
No, really.
That's surprising because, like, most people with a penis, there's, like, some buildup or physical need.
Oh, I would most certainly try to do it, but, like, it just...
Yeah.
Wanted... I mean, I'm not powerful. It's and Frank in Tampa says, you know, Tuttle, you need to get some vagina, dog. Trust me.
Frank, I'm in St. Pete. I'm your neighbor.
Wait, you're in St. Pete?
Yeah.
I worked in radio in the Tampa St. Pete area, right?
Oh, fun. I didn't know that.
I spent last 10 years in Tampa on working on the Bubble Love Sponge show over in Tampa.
That sounds fun. I just moved here 2 months ago, actually.
Yeah, well, I
get the lay of land.
Check it out. I probably need to try to get you on there and stuff, but
I have so many questions. I'm like,
all right, so yeah, Lauren, jump in. Lauren, jump in. Ask some questions.
Yeah. Okay. How often do couples ask you to watch them when they're intimate to coach and explain how? I'm not being dead ass serious.
Yeah, no, so that's not what I do. So I'm a licensed mental health professional, and so I specialize in sexuality where I'm focused more on the mental, emotional, physical, kind of holistic. Mm. You know, we talk more about like kind of like what are your blockages to your libido. Sometimes it's, you know, pills like we talked about. Sometimes it's a history of sexual trauma. Sometimes one of the partners has cancer. Sometimes someone had their, you know, uterus removed. And sometimes,
just,
you know,
the baby come out of that.
Yeah, exactly. That actually I do hear a lot from the new mom. So we kind of figure out like what is actually blocking this and how do we kind of work through it? So it's more of like detective work like that. I'm sure there are maybe.
Oh, the only coaches. Sex therapist I've ever met. She's in Orlando and she you pay her to watch you and your partner have sex, and then she can coach you into intimacy.
Hey, would you do that, Lauren?
Coach her into the orgasm.
Lauren.
Is she actually a mental health person, though, or is she more of like a coach?
She's probably a coach. She's probably...
I didn't ask her credentials.
She's not licensed.
It makes a difference because, like, in terms of, like, the licensure and the ethics, that would go against, like, all of that.
Wait a minute.
Mental health licensure and ethics, yeah.
Heather, though, like, how, okay, and maybe I don't want you to think I'm trying to be shocking and stuff, but...
Nothing all right, shocking.
So you got a mental health license and stuff, yeah. And a couple voluntarily ask you... On your own free time, not in your practice, not in your office. Hey, come over to my house. We're just as friends or whatever and watch us have sex and stuff. Like, that would be.
Are they exhibitionists or is it like, I actually want to know intimacy coaching? Like, what? Tell. If someone was a sex therapist, but not in the mental health, but in like the performance.
Yeah.
Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Sex is a sport. You don't want to just do self-training. Like, you can't get better unless you bring in a professional.
Yeah, and there are people, I would say more of the, like, somatic body work people might be more hands-on or watching people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's mm-hmm. kind of different fields within sexuality. So, like, mm-hmm. I'm more on the mental health side. Coaches might be doing a little bit of what I do and maybe a little bit more of the tips and tricks, which I will also get into tips and tricks. And I will talk to people explicitly. Like, I'm not going to watch them. But if they're like, oh,
what if they taped it? What if they brought in like a thumbnail or a DVD or something and said, hey,
DVD, what age are you in?
Well, I mean, athletes film themselves and they bring in people to break down their mechanics and stuff.
Again, I don't have any kind of sexual relationship with my clients. So we can talk about it, but it's basically like a talk therapy mm-hmm. type of thing with a focus.
So
on
you would
sex
talk to someone like if we'll use Tuttle and I say Tuttle and I relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Tuttle, I really want you to talk dirty to me and I want you to be aggressive as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like, what?
Whoa, I'm too shy.
Yes. I would have that conversation with a couple. Mm. And I have had that conversation.
Lauren, why are you doing this? Like, seriously, we have a completely professional friendship type thing. And now, like, you're...
Why would you insult our friendship?
Listen, I'm...
She said her girlfriend could suck milk out of her boobs.
Okay, I didn't say my girlfriend. I said my dad drank my mom's breast milk. So...
You did bring it up.
I'm breastfeeding... Like, when you come to the Dragon Boat Race in October, if I were breastfeeding, I'd give you a bottle. And I'd choose it.
Just to let you know, I'm going back and pulling that audio, Lauren. just to let you know.
Anyone here that's listening, we can record it. Someone mentioned earlier that breast milk is sweet. I'm going to be like, here's breast milk on a normal day, and then here's breast milk when I ate bananas and blueberries.
Okay.
Does it affect the way it affects other parts of
All right, so you're talking about what you eat is what your breast milk tastes like stuff?
Science fair as an adult.
Well, yeah. I mean, guys always talk about, if you eat certain things,
That's when I reference pineapple.
Okay. So I think that we can all take some inspiration from Lauren, actually, because mm-hmm. she's very creative. And I actually think it's important to bring creative ideas to your sex life, otherwise you're all going to get bored. So we got to think outside the box a little bit.
We can do a taste test. Is this someone asked, like, it's similar to like box milk. Like, one of this is soy milk. One is like Lauren's titty milk. Another one is chocolate milk dyed pink. Like, we'll color them all and you have to guess.
There you
and
go.
Then, like, for each one you get right, you get...
I mean, that would be quite the episode. So if and when that happens, I do think you guys should do that.
All right. So, Heather, I gotta ask you. So you help relationships out.
With individuals, too.
What is your sex life like? Because
personal, Tuttle.
So no, I'm just asking though. Like, people like
and
to judge.
What is a healthy sex life? How many times a week?
Yeah, but
okay, good. Okay.
All right. So you can answer that.
Two questions already. Yeah,
all right.
So 10 times a week.
What? Who said 10?
Oh, I thought so. I was like, damn.
No. So let me answer that question.
Yeah, answer that question. I'll finish mine.
So the research shows that in a couple, like once a week or more is kind of where on average, I think it's very, very important to specify is on average, not for every couple, but once a week is kind of where satisfaction kind of maxes out on average. So be if a couple has sex more than that, it doesn't necessarily mean they're overall happier in the relationship. But there are absolutely people I know that like they have to be having sex like at least 3-4 times a week or every day. And there's other people that it might be every other week and they're perfectly happy, you know? So like every couple is different. You really just gotta do what works for you.
How long before you start to signal that it's not healthy? What is the equivalent of Tuttle's 1 year?
Oh, I'm about
to feel. It's just how you feel. So, I mean, some people are more asexual. Some people maybe have gone through a breakup and they're just, you know, they're kind of a little shut down in that way. And maybe it's like a healing period for them. So I don't think there's anything inherently unhealthy. I think it's more like, are you doing your healing work? Are you feeling like your best self?
All right. So, you know,
I'm
going to be upfront and honest because while you guys were talking, I was trying to do the math in my head.
How many more times you'll have sex in your lifetime?
No, it's pathetic if I told you the last time I had sex.
Well, I actually think this is a good topic, and I haven't talked about this on many shows, but a lot of us go through dry spells, and you were asking about
mine
sex life.
Mine is
horrible,
by the way.
But, like, I think that's actually important to talk about, you know?
I had sex with my wife only 2 times.
Oh, wow.
The whole time. And I waited. Like, I'm not saying that I'm like some type of like stud, but before I met my wife, I went on a really good run. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 19. And I think I got into almost the 20s from 19 until I met my wife until 2003. Mm-hmm. Now, when I met my wife at the time, you know, I was like every other guy. I was like, oh, yeah. You know, like we led up to it and she stopped me right before, you know, I got to the point. She told me she was a virgin.
So you're saying the point of penetration?
Yes.
Or the point
Yeah.
Good clarification, Lauren.
Like, you know, we did everything except penetration. Okay.
Okay.
And she told me, she was like,
was she Catholic?
No, she's not even religious. Huh. So. When she told me that, I was like every other guy, yeah, okay, I'm going to be that guy. You know, I was like, and I waited from the beginning of 2003 until November of 2006 before we got married, before we had sex. I waited all that time. That was the first time. What's that
now?
What'd you say?
Yosemite Gusher. You the first time.
But I know it's pathetic, and then I only ever had sex.
Why is it pathetic? Why would you say it's pathetic? It's romantic.
But then after that, it was only one more time. Like, and we were married until 2014.
Wow. And was that more on your end or her end?
It was, no, I did. But
she was asexual.
Huh?
She was asexual.
A little bit, I would say, but I'm not talking. I'm not saying anything bad. Like we're friends and everything. It just.
But you don't wear her ring.
No.
Are you really friends?
Well, I really don't. I don't. Oh, but you know, like that really gave me a little bit of a complex, though. It did.
I can see that. And I think that is what happens, Tuttle. And I recently had a year and a half period where I didn't have sex with anybody except for myself. And thank you.
Happily married. I still enjoy single sex.
It's important, I think. But and there are two different things. For those of the people who are like, oh, I'm in a relationship, my partner shouldn't do this. Nope, they should do it. But yeah, so I think that for me, it was like kind of recovering from a breakup. It was, you know, focusing on work. It was kind of a lack of options where I was living at the time. You know, so it was kind of a mixed bag. It was also a little bit of frustration of like, you know, if someone's not going to like treat me well and like make a little effort, then I'm just over it.
So
do you feel not desired?
Who, me? Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
So Tuttle, are you single now or are you in a relationship?
Yeah, I'm very single.
Okay.
But it's not because I'm not trying. Like,
I hear you. I'm single too, and so I've joked about I should start a podcast called Single Sex Therapist.
but I'm on another, like, right after my divorce, I had a little bit of a run.
Okay.
But I had problems during that because I was on so many mood stabilizing drugs that I could not get to the point of completion, though. Like,
yeah, that's the thing.
And yeah. Some of the women got really offended, if I'm just being honest.
That's a good topic too, actually. So, and I've had that, I hear that from my girlfriends even, like, well, I was with this guy, but he didn't come, or he, you know, was
hard. Wait, how many times do girls not come? What? Come on, girls don't come all the time.
Thank you, first of all, yes. But I do think women take it so personally because sometimes I think we're seeking validation from sex. We want to feel wanted, and we make it all about ourselves when it really has nothing to do with it. And when I work with men who, you know, are having a hard time orgasming or erectile dysfunction, it's almost never about, I would like all the ladies to hear this, it's almost never about lack of attraction. Pretty much never. It's typically about either being in their head or some kind of medication.
Yeah, but I'm off of them now, and it's like, you know, now I can't find anybody. So it's like, and then the funny thing is when I want to take care of business on my own and everything, it's late at night, and then I can't go to sleep after because I've worked myself up and everything, and it just seems like at night when I take my sleepy pills at night, I tend to get in that type of mood when I'm wanting to, basically abuse my penis.
I love it. There's like no filter on this show. It's so
I know. I've been doing radio for over 20 years, so.
That's great. So fun. But I mean, I do think some people get a death grip on their penis, and that's a real thing too that I learned from being a sex therapist.
What? A death grip on the penis?
Death grip on the penis when masturbating. So it's almost like, in the sort of like, I'm going to come, you know, it's almost like, I'm going to squeeze it tighter to make myself come. And
I've done, man, very common.
It's surprisingly common.
Listen, see, you guys are ladies, but I remember the first time that I actually, because when you're a kid, when you're younger, like you mess around with it, but you don't know what
the first time you came.
Probably 13, 14. And I got freaked out the first time because I was like, and then after I finally realized what happened and everything, I was like, oh God, like it was like you, every chance I got, like seriously, I stiffened every single one of my socks, like my socks.
Oh my God.
Like I swear
you
to God.
You've gone through some interesting periods, Tuttle, of like kind of not being interested and then being super interested.
But I also went through childhood trauma, so I have a weird, like, it's not on my own fault. It's just stuff, and it wasn't my parents or anything like that. But like I, for a while, I was really, really just like I had. And I haven't talked about that because I'm back in therapy now. Like
therapy.
I was Baker acted. I tried to kill myself in 2019. I'm sorry. I know that I'm like bringing the whole room down, but I tried to hang myself in 2019. Luckily, cheap construction and stuff. You know, the ceiling fan ripped out of the top of the roof. I got Baker acted. I was institutionalized for 11 days and stuff. And, you know, like I blocked out a lot of stuff that happened to me as a kid. And, you know, like I wanted to talk to my parents about this stuff, but being a man, especially a man in the South growing up, there's a stigma, like, you know, and you don't want to talk about stuff. I couldn't even talk about being depressed because, and I'm not saying my parents were bad, but like if you talk to them about this, what do you got to be depressed about? You know, and that trauma.
Which, by the way, depression is not about something. You know, I think that's such a misconception. Like like, I have a good life. You know, I've had men come in and be like, I'm a cis white male from a wealthy family. Like, what right do I have to be depressed? And I'm kind of like, that's just not how it works. You know, part of it is like our genetic lottery. Part of it is, you know, the beliefs and attitudes that we've kind of gotten in the habit of.
But what happened to me as a young kid, it really gave me a weird view on things, you know?
I could see that.
God, I'm sorry, guys, that I brought the whole thing.
Tuttle, I actually think it's really important that you're talking about this. And I think there's probably so many people listening that, you know, I've had clients who have attempted suicide, and I just feel like there can be such a stigma around it. But talking about it and knowing that you're not alone, and, you know, even as a mental health provider, I think I used to be like, oh my God, somebody's suicidal. I gotta like make sure they're okay. And it's like this like tension and stuff. And then when you're like, what if it's okay to talk about it? What if it's okay to like say that you're feeling that way to somebody and to like figure out why and to like do the healing work, you know, and not be so afraid to even like go there. So I think it's great that you're talking about
it.
I also hope you like have, you find a partner where you rip the ceiling fan out because she's like screaming at the top of her lungs. Yeah.
I mean, that would be nice.
But see, the thing that it's just like, I have been, because I was afraid of therapists and mental health, because their answer was always to throw pills down my throat and everything.
Oh, I'm not that kind of therapist, by the way.
No, but like I now that I have insurance and stuff, I went and saw and I talked about this.
Oh,
and
good.
And the other thing that I'm stressing out, see, now I feel like I'm turning this into a therapy session, and and I do apologize, but you know, my dad died over about a year and a half ago. I'm an only child. I'm having to take care of my mom and stuff now. I don't have a lot.
Life happens.
I don't have besides that, I don't have a relationship with any part of my family. And one of the things that's been, you know, really stressing me out is that I don't have a companion. I don't have a family. And it's really screwed me up on my depression and stuff. And I know I shouldn't stress out about it, but I am.
Well, I think that's an interesting thing. And have you looked into attachment styles?
I mean, I don't even know what that is.
A professional what?
Like a professional hugger?
Oh no, but that's so cute.
Oh, yeah, this one.
Let me like briefly explain attachment style. So basically, you could be anxious, avoidant, or secure. If you're anxious, you maybe feel a little bit needy. You feel like, okay, like I feel lonely, or I don't feel okay on my own, or I feel kind of emptiness inside. And if you're secure, you feel like pretty comfortable finding close relationships and like having intimacy, and you still keep a sense of yourself. And if you're avoidant, you're kind of like, ooh, don't smother me too much.
No,
so those are kind of the basic three styles.
It's not that. It's just that I am just stressing about it because, like, you know how I said I went through that dry spell when I was married. And
now I want to like review your dating profile.
Oh my god! Can we pull it up? Bring it online. Woo-hoo! Share your screen.
But I swear to God, Lauren and Heather, that it's been, hold on, give me a second here. It's been about since 2014, after that, it's been about since 2017 since I've had a sexual partner.
Have you had other intimate relationships?
I mean, I have and stuff, and like I've met women, I've gone out on dates and stuff, and I think that it's just that I'm not that alpha aggressive male though, like because still to this day when I talk to people I say yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir.
Do you use that in the bedroom too?
No,
maybe
no.
You should.
No. But what I'm trying to say, look, I'm very open to everything. Like I am. Okay.
You're trying my breast milk.
But I think,
okay, that's fine. I will.
I think you have to, cause I feel like I have some clients that are in a similar boat to you. And I feel like you got to feel like really good in yourself because that's the vibe you want to be.
I do. I'm confident. I've worked in radio the past 20 years. I'm not shy. I'm not shy.
But if you're feeling like, oh, I'm really kind of depressed because I don't have this, no, I feel like that vibe is like detected.
That's not it. I don't go. See, now that I opened up about my past and stuff, you guys think that I'm all a depressed piece of crap or whatever, but I'm not.
Help us understand.
No, it's just, here, I got a phone call coming in. You guys want to take a phone call? Somebody wants to call in and talk.
Oh my gosh, yes.
All right, hold on.
I didn't know people were calling in. That's so fun.
Oh, they can. Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hello. Hello.
Hey, Tuttle. I had a question for
Fozzie.
It's Fozzie.
Fozzie is on the line. Fozzie, do you got a question for our guest?
Hi, Fozzie.
I do. How you doing, ladies? Yeah, great show. Yeah, I do have a question. It's for your sex therapist. A couple of weeks ago, I mean, it's kind of has something to do with wet dreams and the dream state. Can you help me out with that?
Let's see. What do you got?
Okay, so about a couple of months ago, I had a wet dream, but it wasn't a wet dream. It wasn't a sloppy wet dream, if you will. Pardon my crudeness. But it was a dry wet dream. So I had this sensation, but not the mess, if you will. So I'm not gay, but in the wet dream, what caused me to have the dry wet dream, if you will, was as I was in my dream state, I looked down and someone was giving me oral. I grabbed the head by the hair. I could tell it was kind of kinky pubic, but soft hair. And when I turned the head around, it was Lionel Richie.
Oh my God, that's so specific.
Wait, are we talking, Fozzie, are we talking Lionel Richie during the time of Dancing on the Ceiling type Lionel Richie?
It was definitely the younger Penny Lover, Lionel Richie. So right. I just want to know what there is in the dream state and wet dreams. Do you have anything on wet dreams? I'll hang up and.
I mean, it's a little interesting. So it was an erotic dream, but it wasn't like. Did you have an orgasm?
Oh, he hung up. He said he was going to listen. I mean, he said that in the physical world, he didn't. Maybe he did in his dream.
He didn't come either on this question either. Like, she had follow-up, and he didn't come on the question.
No, he didn't. So Heather, I see, this is why guys don't talk. You guys feel like I'm going to... Like, I'm sorry
if you felt attacked.
No. I mean, look, I try to meet people. You got to realize with this pandemic and everything, people are not going out.
I'm single too. I'm also dealing with this.
Oh, I mean, but why though? Why though, Heather?
Why what?
Why? Are you not trying or, you know?
Well, so I just moved here from Puerto Rico. There weren't a ton of options where I lived in Puerto Rico. Before that, it was COVID in Chicago in the winter. Before that, I kind of like tried a little bit and a bunch of guys were disrespectful jerks and I was kind of over it for a bit. So, you know, that's kind of been my streak. So I'm kind of just now getting back into dating. But
are you
like,
doing the dating apps? You do the dating apps at all?
I'm doing Bumble. Yeah. What about you?
I mean, I do Tinder. I don't get on any of those, but like I went on a run and I talked to a lot of African American women and I was talking
to type,
well I was talking to this one African American woman and like we were messaging text back and forth for a couple of weeks but she just ghosted me all of a sudden.
You
like,
took too long to initiate
it. I agree.
Oh my God. Why? A couple weeks?
I'm with Lauren.
I asked her. I within the first couple of days, hey, would you like to go do something? And no, I'm busy
perfect.
This week and stuff.
I think that's the perfect time frame. Like, give it a couple days of texting.
So it's not that I didn't try, but maybe I just was, you know, let it go for too long.
I agree with you. Yeah, like you asked at the right time. If she didn't kind of like warm up to the idea or show that she was serious about meeting,
but she was still talking to me though. She was still talking.
That's just like she's talking to 200 other people at the same time.
Exactly. I would say it's about the action. So it's like some people love to talk, some people love the attention, some people love the validation. And you kind of want to separate out like who's going to actually take action and meet you, and who's just going to waste your time.
Oh, we are going to at the Dragon Boat Race. I'm going to.
What is this Dragon Boat Race? I want to come.
You can't. October 15th.
Bill well, you're in Tampa. I mean, Orlando is not that far away. You should definitely come out to
it's
it.
It's right by Universal.
It's in Orlando? Okay, I'm coming.
Great. Which, like, I mean, you can come, too, while you're there. Like, there's plenty of
I can come space. And come? Okay, great.
God damn it.
I'm going to be wet, for sure.
I think like, Lauren and I are going to start a sex podcast after this.
Well, can I tell you a superpower that I have?
Yeah.
I'm really good at sex storytelling and coming up with, like, you know, people, you put your kids to bed, you give them a fairy tale, or you make a story up.
Yeah.
I'm really good at making up a sex story and getting
oh my God.
From, like,
could you like audio erotica?
6 to midnight. Oh, that's like a secret dream, like making a fairy tale book for
Lauren.
Audio erotica is getting so popular right now.
No, Lauren, I have a full working board. I am an audio engineer, and I promise you, I will bring all of my equipment over to you. And
don't tease me with a good time. Like, I've never met anyone as good at taking. I like literally, so I do this quite often.
I like want to hear something.
Tell my husband. Just tell me where we are.
Fozzie,
a girlfriend of mine. I like she's like, I need help. Like, I don't know what to do in the bedroom. I was like, oh, tell a sexy story.
See,
and she's like, what do? I said, give me a location. And I dictated it to her.
You dictated
voice note, like,
it.
Six voice notes. And she was like, she had to stop because she was like, she was so turned on by the story I was telling her to give her boyfriend.
All right.
And then my husband stopped me. He's like,
you have a future.
Come back to this story. Totally.
Yeah, you do.
All right,
you can still do it on the side.
So I'm monetized on a couple of platforms. Fozzie said, make one up right now. So I can't take that risk for Lauren to make one up off the top of her head. Because seriously, I've worked too hard to get monetized and make money off of YouTube and Twitch. But
that's fair.
But Lauren.
Oh, come on. You're setting up all these things like LubeTube. And
no.
What do you like, finger twitching good time?
No, Lauren, though, I can't, like, I mean, I'm taking a risk if I say Lauren.
I won't do it here. I'm just saying, come to Dragon Boating, Heather, and I'll make up a story, and then we'll just time how long it takes before Huddle is standing up.
Oh, no, Lauren. Don't even do that, please. But what I'm saying, though, is, like, I think you could make a lot of serious money. Like, if you let me produce and record you.
Do this. I will 100% do this.
And it's just audio.
Like a gift for my husband's birthday. Like,
yeah, and
Twisted. That would be an awesome gift. Everyone listening should do that for their partner, too.
And Twisted Movies said, I was going to say, you called me Huddle a few minutes ago. Twisted Movie said Huddle. So, like, I thought I heard you say Huddle. And then Twisted Movies backed me up on that. Huddle? ? I think Lauren was getting too much into the erotica audio type stuff that.
Wait, can we go back to the erotica dream that Fozzie?
I know we never answered Fozzie's question. So, what does it mean? So with dream interpretation, there's not really much science to it. So I would go by more like, what did it feel like to you? For me, when I'm dreaming, I feel like I'm usually processing something or working through something. So is there some, what are your thoughts about Lionel Richie? What does he represent to you? You know, are you a musician? Is it the idea that he's someone famous? Is it the taboo of it being a man? Like there's so much that could be going there.
Ooh, the taboo of it. That's like the wife you can't have, like when you're like interested in someone's hot wife.
Yeah. Taboo is huge. I mean, that's definitely one of my biggest turn on areas. And there's a book, it's an old one, called The Erotic Mind by Jack Maron. He talks about the four cornerstones of eroticism. And one of them is basically stuff you're not supposed to do.
Hey, Heather. So what is your taboo type thing?
So many, like literally I joke sometimes. I'm just like, anything inappropriate is going to be exciting to me. like if you can use the word inappropriate to describe.
Okay.
It.
So
now I have to specify between consenting adults. Mm-hmm. That's important.
No.
Yes.
But yeah.
You know what? We have to set up a time that the three of us can we can record.
October 15th.
Okay, but I'm saying record this so I don't get kicked off of YouTube or Twitch.
We'll have Heather be the QA assistant on the storytelling.
Yeah, exactly. So
this doesn't send any triggers. Like this, we don't need to add a trigger warning.
Okay.
All right. That's we're definitely doing that. So
we could just set up our own website with like sexual erotica, like audio stuff. We just have a whole new business.
See, Lauren's grinning. I've known Lauren long enough that I can see the gear spinning. Like she's like, because she's
this
a marketing.
I don't post on my feed.
Well, because Lauren is a marketing guru. Like she is
I
the best.
I have to be careful.
Okay.
Like she is the marketing
guru. We'll
give
you an alias name. I'll just like add an audio erotica page to my website and we won't say who you really are.
So Lauren, if you were going to go by a pseudonym like or like a fake name, like what would your name be?
Susie comes a lot.
God damn it. All right. I'm getting out of here. Heather, before we go, tell my audience how they can find you on social media or website. See, Lauren's completely thrown me off now.
You guys have, like, this has been great. This is hilarious. So yes, if you're curious more about working with a sex therapist, which honestly, I think we could all use a little help in that area, my website is heathershannon.co. I do have some free gifts for people.
I
have a free guidebook on libido called
sex
Mojo
toys
Magic.
No sex toys, no like anything.
No,
like
you
that
have, do you have like from Friends the instruction that like Monica has where she's like 6 2 3 7 7 7
No. Well, although at some point I do want to do like a genital meditation. I haven't done that yet, but stay tuned for on my
genital
page.
Meditation. Like, yeah. It's like cupping your balls and going like,
It could be involving some touch, but it could also just be like noticing, like, do you pay attention to that area of your body? Because I notice so many women especially are just like uncomfortable with their genitals, and, like don't want to masturbate, don't want to touch them and feel gross. So, yeah, exactly. So it'll kind of be helping people with that. But anyway, so I have the Mojo Magic guidebook. So I have a lot of mostly women, especially the newer moms that are kind of like, you know, my husband keeps wanting sex and I'm just like not feeling it. And like, this is kind of killing my marriage right now. And we're fighting about it all the time. And so for those people to be like, okay, here's what's going on with your libido. Here's why you lost it to begin with. And here's how to start recovering it. So people can check that out on the website, heathershannon.co. And then my Instagram is at Heather A. Shannon, and I'm pretty active on there too.
Do people bring in STDs and like
those
kind of components with like?
For sure. Like there's so many components, right? Like when I originally specialized, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be pigeonholed as a sex therapist. And I'm, you know, a pretty holistic person.
I bet you're being holed.
You just heard the hold part.
Yeah. I mean, you might be into bestiality. You said pigeon, but.
All right.
No, but see, that's the consent issue. Yeah.
All right, guys, we need to table this and
poor Tuttle.
Look, I could do this, but I gotta get up and work my other job in the morning and stuff. So
get up.
All right. Well, it was so great. Thank you guys so much for having me, and thanks for the audience. This was really fun.
Hey, Heather, thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Bye, guys.
All right, bye. So Lauren, what did you think?
She's amazing.
I mean, I thought it was great.
I wanted to ask so many other questions. I really wanted to go and like say role play, right?
Okay, but
the husband that doesn't want dirty aggressive sex, and I'm
okay.
begging for
Then we need to do that off of the live stream, though. Like seriously, like because like I can't. Look, I'm making enough money at my other job now, so, I mean, but I don't want to get banned. I don't want to get banned, because, like, I'm creeping up on 3,000 subscribers on YouTube and stuff. I don't want to lose that. Twitch is growing.
When you're talking about growing things.
Mm-hmm.
On a podcast with me and Heather.
Okay. All right. No, I want to do it. I want to do it. So, Lauren, Mongoose Media. I always get this wrong. Is it .net?
No, .us.
.us. See, God, get a .com. Like seriously.
I mean, maybe one day.
So
maybe one day. I want to like hold on because they said like my chandelier is cool.
Yeah.
I also have the cool light bulb, so I can change the scene.
See, you got mood lighting and stuff. That is pretty badass. Matter of fact, you should have kept it like that the whole time. It really does, like, bring out your features and everything. But
I'll use Arctic Aurora next time.
Okay. All right. Well, Lauren, if, you know, if anybody, like, what type of people come and, not come, but, like, bring that hire you as...
People that want their Facebook ads to climax in sales.
All right. And what's the best social media that people can follow you on? Instagram?
Sure.
Well, I'm trying to give you a chance to promote yourself and stuff. You're supposed to be this.
Tuttle, we're going to make our own like erotic cast.
And what I'm telling with this microphone. So do you hear?
Like make out with a microphone?
See, like you next to that microphone you have. It only picks you up like when you're talking directly into it.
I want like a microphone that's going to like lift me up.
No, I'm
grab my voice.
All right. I have the worst voice in the world. And this microphone makes me sound like I have a little bit of a deeper voice and it's not as high pitched.
So do I want to sound like, then maybe it's like, welcome to your podcast. My
name. No, I promise you, you don't realize how good of an audio engineer I am. I will get two of these mics and I will record you in stereo. So like, you know, when you're talking, like, I'm in your right ear. I'm in your left ear. I'm in your.
Isn't that that song? Hear it from the left.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, look. I promise you, your voice will be the best that is ever sounded. I promise.
I'm ready. We are going to. We should make a like. If you want to like release, like I'll make one, so it'll be like,
release. A okay, a lot of people will be doing that.
You need to say like. That was good. Shit, I missed that one. You can just be like, okay, if anyone listening thinks it's like a viable thing to make an erotic cast single episode, they must do.
What? I mean.
Comment on when you come to dragon boating.
Okay. All right.
And let everyone know how wet Tuttle is.
God damn. All right. So I'm going to come out to the dragon boat. When is that? If people want to check out the dragon boat race.
October 15th, Bill Fredericks Park. During the day.
All right, but where is Bill Fredericks Park at? Like
Orlando, right by Universal Studios.
Okay, all right. So I know. So it's down by the tourist attraction type area then.
Yeah, close to like Dr. Phillips Windermere.
All right. So yeah, it's in the ritzy area.
3401 South Hiawassee Road.
All right. Lauren, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I really appreciated it.
I had a blast.
All right.
You two get to blast off later.
Yeah, no, I probably will now. So, all right, Lauren, thank you so much. Guys, I appreciate everybody that checked out tonight's show. Hopefully you guys stay safe, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.